Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Hey, you are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. That means it's the weekend. Hope you're having a good one. I've had a little bit of a long week, but we'll get into that in a minute. Just the highlights of that. I've been busy with my real job, but Barbecue Bob, always good to see you, brother. And talk a little barbecue. What's going on this week,
man? Yeah, it's about time. Gee whiz, I forgot what a studio looked like.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you let me back in.
Well, you know, it's the anybody that takes as much vacation and then business travel on the back in front of it like you do, then, you know, it's been about a month since you've been here, but I'm glad you're back,
man. Yeah, thanks. I know you're lying. You had
no,
lot
I am
more
glad
fun.
You're back.
You had a lot more fun with Andrew.
Yeah, right.
Chef
yeah.
Andrew. Anyway, yeah, good to be here. Thanks for joining us. It is the weekend, so it must be the Grilling Guys. Go to thegrillingguys.com. Follow us on Facebook / The Grilling Guys. You can check me out on Twitter. It's called Grilling Guy. So this week is all about South Carolina. We got all kinds of stuff to catch up on. And
They don't use much ketchup.
I haven't talked to you in a coon's age.
You're right.
But
yeah, that's a good South Carolina term.
There you go.
Yeah.
Something I never did was coon hunting anyway.
No. I have.
Have you?
I have.
Yeah.
Had a hound, the whole deal.
I just don't think I'd want to eat one.
No. It was
I only
all
shoot
about
what
the,
I eat.
It was all about the pelt.
You
when
wanted
I was
a hat.
It. Right, yeah. So my buddies call me Davey.
That's why I want to start coyote hunting, because I want a coyote jacket.
Yeah. You need to get more than one, brother.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Dude, I've got like 15 of them in my woods.
Right.
They're just itching to take a stick and...
Yeah.
So, had a fantastic week in Montana. What a gorgeous state. I got to see Bozeman, Big Sky. I didn't get to ski, unfortunately, but I did get some beautiful sightseeing in. Hooked up with a friend out there, and, dude, you're not going to believe this, but I got an invite. Now, my friend has a horse ranch, and he loves to elk hunt.
Okay.
He's invited me out for the fall elk hunt on horseback.
Oh, well, that's a great way to do it, because you get up in the mountains. It's a little easier than huffing it up there.
Well, hauling the beast back, that's when the horses come in really handy.
Right,
so,
yeah, you quarter it and bring it with you.
So the only deal is here, I have to go out and barbecue for him in June for his wedding. I'm going to go out and barbecue for his wedding. And then he'll take me hunting. So it's kind of like a tit for
maybe
tat.
Maybe they need a camp cook. I could be like the Hop Sing. I'll go with you, man. We'll just...
No, you're too big. You're not Hop Sing.
Right. Horse is going, oh, my, when he looks at me. Yeah. But anyway...
Hop Sing, no cook.
Right.
Do laundry either.
Yeah. That's a good time. And you know what? You've got that... our friends at Henry Arms... sent us those beautiful rifles, and now you got a 45-70. That'd take an elk down.
Well, I'm going to carry that in the saddle holster.
You can say you did?
Because I want one.
Right.
Yeah. No, but there's a lot of cats, and we might hunt some cats, but there's also a lot of grizz. So the big problem is the grizzly bear. So you have to, like, sleep near your horses, and it's... You know, they're real rascals. So if you happen to get a rogue boar or something like that, you might have to defend yourself.
Yeah.
I want open sights. I don't want my – I'm going to take my 270 for the elk. And but that Henry is going to be right in the saddle, because I think it'll be bad.
Yeah, right. You'll feel like you're out west on a horse with a
saddle
gun lever
action. I got the
boots
and the hat and the jacket, baby. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. The big duster going on.
Oh, I'm getting me some chew.
God. Is this about going hunting, or is this about looking good?
No, it's about being out west on a horse.
Right. That'll be fun.
And hopefully being able to take a nice elk to kill me a big beast and have some meat.
Bring some home, we'll cook it up.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm almost thinking I want to drive out, because – I need to take so much gear. I got that big Cabela's tent and everything, and I don't want to have to fly back.
You're not the outfitter, man.
I don't want to have to fly back meat. You know, because there's so much meat in an elk. There's, you know, you got to have 400, 500 pounds of processed meat by the time you're done.
Yeah, there's a lot of it.
So,
I'm sure there is. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Can't be that bad a drive.
Right. Yep.
We'll see. Anyway, I guess I could just load up a pallet.
Ship it.
Talk to UPS.
Yeah, right.
So that was the highlight of my week, to be honest with you. I did get to go up into Lethbridge, Alberta. I mean, Montana's huge.
Well, sure.
So I went from Bozeman up to Lethbridge, Alberta, because my buddy Vern just put a store in there for Arctic, and spent the night there and had a great time. Then went down to Havre, Montana, which is a place I never knew existed, but it's basically in the center of the state on the border of Canada. It's right on US 2. So you can go from the Mackinac Bridge to Seattle, Washington on US 2.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's the road that goes through the top of Montana. And Havre is, boy, you're out there.
Is there a lot of snow when you were there?
None.
Really?
None.
Huh.
Nope. In the mountains, they were getting nailed, but no, they've had a very light winter in terms of snow.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I fell in love with Montana, to be honest. I love the Rockies. They're just such an amazing, beautiful creation that how can you not be out there and just
Northern stand? Rockies, too. They're, they're beautiful. You bet.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was the fun part. Speaking of Henry, though, I talked to Anthony Imperato last night.
Oh, you did?
He's going to be on the show next week. We want to talk to him about some really cool things that they've been doing. So I thought as long as we were having a nice conversation, I thought it's time to have Anthony back on the show.
Yeah, maybe you can touch on that little 1,000-man shoot they did back in November. That'll be cool.
That's exactly what we're going to
do. Yeah, good. Because I got a video.
Thanks for giving it away.
No, there's a video out. He sent it. It came out on Facebook, so it's everywhere.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. So it is the weekend. It's all about South Carolina and Jop giving away all my secrets. So
yeah.
Thanks, Jop.
Both of them. But anyway, Bob, this week I've been working day and night at the Home and Garden Show here in West Michigan. My real job, quote unquote, we do outdoor kitchens, and I've got a really nice display partnered up with the West Michigan Landscape Association. And right in the center of this giant convention hall, there's a beautiful, probably 200 by 200 foot setup, and my kitchen's right in the middle of it. If you get a chance to come to West Michigan, stop by and see me. Say hi. I'll be there all weekend, the rest of this weekend. There, I think they're open till 9 on Saturday and another till 6 on Sunday type thing. But I built a beer wall. Just I got to do something when you're at a trade show to get people's attention. I got 25 tappers across the top of an 8-foot-tall wall.
All working?
Yeah. Yeah, we plumbed it all in and put a. There's not beer; it's water, right? It's there to. It's
so
there
not,
for looks.
So they're not working.
Right.
That's false. That's like fake news, dude.
It is not, because all it is an attention grabber. They wouldn't let me bring beer in there because you got to buy it there, right?
You got to pay $10 a cup.
Yeah, right, to circulate it. But anyway,
so it could be vodka.
Yeah,
you could just say it's
kind of cool. But anyway, so if you get to the show, look for the beer wall, and I'll be standing in front of it in my kitchen. But anyway, our friends at Garrett's Appliance were generous enough to bring down. I've got refrigerators and kegerators and grills and smokers. It's all set up in the kitchen.
It's that time of year when all the home shows across the country are starting up. So people I talk to all around the country are all doing that same thing, and they're all moaning because if you have to work the show,
right. It's
a lot of work, and you're going to be gone all weekend. I was talking
pressing
with
the
my
flesh
friend
with
in
people that are sneezing into their hand and then shaking yours.
My pool buddies out on the East Coast at Integrity and those places. I just talked to Craig last night, and he was moaning about the exact same thing. They're moving in hot tubs, and when they do a pool display at a home show, they literally build a pool or part of it.
Yep,
and it's just a ton of work.
Yeah,
bringing that water back home is really hard.
Yeah. Beautiful stuff. If you get a chance, come down and say hey to Jop at the Grilling Guys. We're right in the center of the home show. Coming up next, we're going to talk with a Mr. Gore. It's not the one that Bob likes, but a different Mr. Gore.
Stop
that's
it.
In the barbecue business. And he's down in South Carolina, so we're going to kick off the South Carolina barbecue for you. You're listening to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
I like my backyard. I like being outside all year long. I work hard, I exercise, and live life to the max. Nothing's better than slipping out in my Arctic spa and relaxing with my family. The Spa Boy Advanced Water Care System keeps my water crystal clear, and I control everything from my smartphone, iPad, or laptop. Check out arcticspas.com and find the perfect hot tub for your home. I'm Barbecue Bob.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120, where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the weekend. Put your feet on the floor. Get out in the backyard and fire up a grill. It's a beautiful day. Create some grill envy in your neighborhood. I'm Jop. He's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, welcome back and thanks. Wherever you're listening around the world, if you're streaming us live in Baghdad, if you're in Afghanistan, or maybe the Philippines, Australia, wherever you are, thanks so much for taking some time with us. And for those of you on podcast, we appreciate all the downloads that are taking place right now. It's a great way to get the show if you're not available on the weekends. You can go to thegrillinguys.com and click on any of the links at the top for those podcasts or for streaming mechanisms. And you can follow us on Facebook /thegrillinguys. So this week, Jop, it is all about South Carolina barbecue. And you've probably been to South Carolina a time or two. I'm not sure where.
Right.
Where have you been?
Yep. Columbia.
Okay.
Is predominantly, I was down there for work a couple times, but
oh, yeah.
Not recently.
Yeah. It's just like any of the Carolinas, the different parts of the state kind of have different ways of doing barbecue. And right now we're going to shoot over to the eastern side of the state to a town called Aner, South Carolina, to a place called, and this is a legendary place, been featured on the Food Network and all sorts of other shows, Gore's Barbecue and Country Kitchen. Right now on the live line, we've got Mr. Barbecue Man, Mr. Gore. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great today. How about yourself?
Hey, just appreciate so much you taking some time to talk to us because I know you're a busy man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So tell us, all us folks around the U.S. here in different states and parts of the world, what makes your part of South Carolina so special and why your business seems to be such a huge success?
Oh, being a success and having a good old country dinner, something that we don't hardly have around here no more. And so we put out the best product around for country dinners, like macaroni and cheese, rice and gravy, fried chicken, pork chops, candy and potatoes, and barbecue, the specialist barbecue.
So is the barbecue, is it whole hog or is it shoulders?
It's whole hog and sometimes shoulders when I can't get the whole hog.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about the whole hog. What are you doing to it before you get it on the pit?
Before I get to it, I go and purchase it from the locker plant and get it, and I clean it up, and then I put it on the grill. On a pit and let it cook.
Simple, right?
Yes, sir.
Simple stuff. Are you doing any seasonings on that hog before you put him on the pit?
No, I don't put seasoning on him before I put him on the pit. I just cook him first.
Very good. Now, you're doing that, are you doing that over hardwood?
Yes, I do it over hardwood, the old-fashioned way.
And so that's one of the pits you have is an old-fashioned brick pit, and then you said you had another one that's steel to help keep up with the volume. Do you do that hog belly down first?
Yes, I do the belly down first.
And then how long do you keep it over the coals before you flip it over to the backside? Two-thirds of the time, is it belly down?
I do it the old-fashioned way. I don't turn it.
Oh, you never flip it? Okay.
No, I never flip it until it's done.
So you don't necessarily get cracklings with yours?
No, not crackling.
Okay. Then you just must have a great big table you set that on in your kitchen to start processing all that meat, because that's a whole bunch of work right there.
Yes, it is. A whole lot of work. And when you're processing and all that, getting it ready for the barbecue, and then after you get it ready for the barbecue, then you put it on the menu.
Nice. Very good. Now, when you're putting it out there, are you mixing up the different cuts, or are you selling it by different parts?
Oh, we just mix it all together. You get the whole hog, you get everything in it, bacon, ham, sausage, all that wrapped up in one big hog.
Awesome. You also have a pretty famous macaroni and cheese.
Yes, sir.
How would
I
you
do it old-fashioned way?
And how do you do that?
Oh, I get it and cheese and macaroni, get it all together, and then put it in the oven, bake it. Now the bacon, put it on the line, and everybody come in and start eating.
All right, I'm going to have to dig deeper on that one because mac and cheese is one of my favorites. But what kind of cheeses are you putting in there?
Oh, I put that old-fashioned hook cheese in it. And sometimes I can't get the hook cheese. I get the Kraft cheese and mix it all together with my macaroni and all and put all my other ingredients in it. And then
yeah, there's the secret right there, all my other ingredients. We're not going to get that, are we?
No, we're not going to get all my ingredients. If I put it out there, everybody want to do it.
So you were just recently featured on a television show. What program was that?
The program was on a food show.
Oh.
And they come in and interview me and all that, and they want to know all about my secret, but I can't give the secret. if I gave them a secret, it won't be no more secret.
Who would do that? Right, who would do that anyway?
That's right. You know, remember the old show used to be on TV?
Right.
I got a secret back. So I just got a secret, and everybody want my secret.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I think that was like Art Linkletter or something like that.
Right.
So let's get away from your secrets then, your sauces, because in the Carolinas, is the way I understand it, correct me if I'm wrong, is the hog's going out just cooked and pulled and chopped or however you want it, but then the sauce is on the table, right? The sauce is after you serve the meat.
No, the sauce is already in the meat.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The sauce is already in the meat, and all you got to do is just eat. You don't have to add nothing to it but your lips.
So, what kind of sauce do you what's the kind of flavor profile of your sauce?
See, I just use old fashioned sauce.
Here we go again, Bob.
I make my own sauce now. I make my own sauce. I don't buy that other sauce out there.
Would you call it a vinegar based sauce?
Vinegar based.
Okay, and it's more of a red sauce.
Yes.
Okay, because I know in. Western South Carolina, where the German enclaves were in particular, they're still heavy into the mustard side. So you must have a lot of that around you, too.
Yes, we have mustard sauce, but I don't put mustard sauce on my barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Nice.
It's just regular, that vinegar, old-fashioned way.
You got a lot of variety down there in South Carolina, don't you?
Yes, we have variety, but like I can say thank God for it, because I'm different from all of them.
Well, they call you the barbecue man for a reason.
Yes, sir.
What's the secret to your success?
Secret is I just thank God for it.
You got to quit asking him his secrets. You're gonna go get any secrets. But here's what I want to know is, you said you have sides on there. You got macaroni and cheese. You got any vegetables as sides?
Yes, I have collard greens. I have mustard greens. Some days a different vegetable every day. Then I have corn. And then I have lima beans some days. And then I have butter beans and peas. Baked beans, have a choice.
How about sweet potato pie?
I got that candy yam potato.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you hear what I said? I got candy yams.
Yep.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh.
So somebody wanted to find you. Give us the nearest large city that you're by.
I'm 26 miles out of Myrtle Beach.
Oh, wow. Very nice.
Wow, that's easy. So a lot of people will be going to Myrtle Beach for spring break.
Right, on 501. Come on, 501, straight to Myrtle Beach. I'm in a little town of Anner. My landmark is when you see McDonald's, make a left turn coming from the north, make a left turn at McDonald's and come to the stop sign and go across. I'm in the middle of the block.
It's real easy to find. If you just do an internet search, it's called Gore's, G-O-R-E, Gore's Barbecue and Country Kitchen. If you do an internet search, just look for the guy in South Carolina with 5 stars. Okay, that's where you'll find the barbecue man, Mr. Gore. Thanks so much for joining us on the Grillin' Guys radio show. I hope to darken your doorway someday.
Okay, we're glad to have you anytime.
All right, sir.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Oh, Mr. Gore, he's not letting go any of them secrets, is he?
He's cagey. He's cagey. Yeah. Everybody's calling him wanting that secret. What a guy, nice guy. I talked to him earlier this week when I set it up, and wonderful man, very strong faith in God. I mean, he was, it was like just like the sweetest grandpa you'd ever want to meet. This guy's been doing this a long, long time. He's working hard for that living because doing whole hog, boy, that's a young man's work. So
it is.
So he's really huffing it.
It is. Coming up next, Big Bull's Banging Barbecue. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's. 2600 Patterson, that's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer. Bring the kids, we even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's. 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Imagine you and your buddies in your backyard drinking a cold one and relaxing in your new outdoor bar or kitchen. Does that sound like a good time? Yeah, baby. Then you wake up and realize you're sitting on an old deck in the glaring sun, drying out your brat on a worn-out grill. This is Jop from the Grillin' Guys, and if that's what you're cooking on in your backyard, you should call the guys at Home Life Outdoor Living. They'll help you design and build an outdoor kitchen and entertainment space that will make your backyard the talk of the neighborhood. Create some grill envy in your backyard. Call Home Life Outdoor Living at 616-682-0100.
Fresh, artisanal, and awesome is what I expect with beer and food. At Arcadia's downtown Battle Creek Original Brew Pub, it's authentic wood-fired cuisine and artisanal ales. At Arcadia Brewing Company's new Kalamazoo Riverfront Brewery Pub and Kitchen, it's those same ales and real-deal barbecue. This is Tim Surprise from Arcadia Brewing Company, and as always, please savor the flavor responsibly.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Thanks for tuning in. We appreciate you sharing part of your weekend with Barbecue Bob and I. Hey, at the end of the last segment, I mentioned that we were going to talk to a Big Bull's Banging Barbecue. Well, apparently, Bull's out chasing one in the pasture to slow him down a little bit to get him back on the grill. So we're gonna take a little sidestep here. And Barbecue Bob, as you all know, was gone for about a month between business and vacay. And when he was on the vacay part, he went to the British Virgin Islands and spent a little time down there. I was jealous the whole time you were there, but you also met some great people, right, Bob?
Yeah, those islands are just full of wonderful people. And we were on Joost Van Dyke, and there's just tons of restaurants because cruise ships are all over the place. This is a dinky little island. It's not much bigger than Gilligan's Island. It really isn't.
Is that why you had the shoes when you came back? I saw you had like Gilligan's shoes.
You have to wear Sperry's when you're down there. But It's just a cool place, and if you're not one of those tourists, the ugly American, if you just get into the local culture and mix with the locals, you'll find a lot of cool people who are just like you and me, but maybe they've figured out some things we haven't because they're living pretty stress-free.
Right.
And we're here chasing the dollar, and they're just getting up every day, going to work, maybe living a simple life in a simple little house, but their biggest problem is that maybe...
Hurricane season.
Yeah, and they do get that. You're right. So anyway, this is a shop that was called Alibaba's, and the owner and his girlfriend, I guess, is what it is. But this is Eurynthia and Bobby, and let's play this tape, Brian.
This is Barbecue Bob, and I am down in Yost Van Dyke. I am at a very famous restaurant called Alibaba's, and if you ever come to Yost Van Dyke, this is a must-see. And it's, I think, so popular because this is real homegrown cooking. It's not a chain. It's not frozen food. Everything is fresh, and I'm actually here with the chef, and she's a lovely lady named Eurynthia, and welcome to the Grillin' Guys show.
Welcome. I'm here.
So we've established that. She won't let me take her picture, which is too bad because she's just lovely. But we want to talk about something they call roti, and where does that come from, and what is it?
Well, roti,
it's from the Caribbean.
From the Caribbean.
Okay.
It's from the Caribbean. Growing up as a kid, I know we making roti in Dominica. I'm from Dominica. And I came up here, and we start that business, Alibaba's, Great Hub and Joss Van Dyke, and we start doing the roti. And it's great. We used to sell tons of roti. People love roti.
So you're saying in Dominican they make roti
Dominica,
as well?
Dominica, not Dominican. Dominica.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I don't know the difference.
No, I know. You don't know, yes. Yeah.
Okay. So, but all around the Caribbean, they eat roti.
You get roti, yeah. You got all different kinds of roti. You could get a chicken roti. You could get a conch, a shrimp.
Really?
Yeah. Goat. That's mutton. You get that too. Mm-hmm. You get all different kind of
awesome.
Roti. But we usually do a chicken roti. And that is, we get the chicken, we cut it up small. It's curry. We curry it with the real good curry. Curry it and we add potatoes.
When you say you curry it,
mm-hmm.
you told me that before.
Yes.
When you curry something, what does that mean?
That means you cook it with the roti. You do
and
it
the curry
together
the
with the...
You cook it with the curry
powder,
in it.
Yes.
So when you say you curry something, that just means cooking something with curry.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, okay, yes.
All right.
Because different ways, you know, you'd cook different.
Yeah, jerk.
So we cut... Right.
Yeah.
So
okay.
We do that. The chicken roti is a curry chicken. Curry it. We add in chickpeas and...
So once the chicken's cooked, you throw in some little chunks of potato and chickpea?
We do all... We curry
at the same
all
time.
Of them at the same
oh.
time, yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was so good.
Yeah.
And then how does the sauce evolve? Is that just from water?
From the chicken. You cook it slow.
Uh-huh. But you must add water, wine, or something like
no
that?
No wine. Just a little water.
Okay.
Just a little, because
it makes a nice broth.
Right. So
okay.
We do that. We add the chicken, potatoes, chickpeas, onion, garlic, hot sauce. We
nice.
Do our own hot sauce down here.
Do you? What kind of peppers do you put in your hot sauce?
Habanero.
Habanero.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's an awesome
island pepper too.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, they're so good.
We grow them.
Very hot, but they're so good.
Yeah.
They have a flavor that is fantastic.
Right.
So you make your own hot sauce?
Yes.
Out of habanero.
Mm-hmm.
Then tell me about this wrap that you put it in.
Well, the wrap, you made it out of flour and chickpeas. You blend the chickpeas and you fry it down, put it in the flour, and you make the wrap. And you roll it out flat.
So it's kind of like a pizza dough, only you roll
very
it.
Very thin, thinner than that. It's
with
very thin.
Different
things in it.
Mm-hmm. But to make this wrap, mm-hmm. it's going to be flour,
chickpeas, a little salt, baking powder, make it light and...
Oh, there is a little baking powder?
Just a little.
Just a little?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then some water?
No, oil.
Oil?
Mm-hmm.
No water?
No water.
It's a fantastic shell.
Yeah, it is. nice.
I'm going to have to try that when I get back to Michigan. That'd be a good cold winter project.
That would be good. I think everybody would like it.
Roti in the snow tea. Yeah. Again, we are at Alibaba's in Joost van Dyke.
Great Harbor.
Yeah, in Great Harbor.
I'm going to say his most favorite poem for you.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
And what's that?
It is said, there are good ships. There are wooden ships. There are ships that sails the seas. But the best ship is friendship, and may it always be.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome, Bobby. And that's Bobby, which is Eurynthia's significant other and bodyguard. I think he's her pool boy, to be honest with you, but we'll leave that to them. So been just wonderful talking with you, and I urge everybody to go to Alibaba's if you ever get to Joost van Dyke. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
So that's a cool, just a cool experience. You know, running into a new food for you and I is just fun because it's like, holy cow, I never knew there was such a thing.
Right.
It kind of looked like a burrito, kind of looked like a pasty. It was, but it's got a curry kind of sauce in it. So, I mean, I love curry and I love the Jamaican jerk sauces, all that stuff in those islands is... It comes from, I mean, you're down into trade winds where those routes were established by, you know,
spice merchants.
Christopher Columbus and people like that. So those whole islands are named by Christopher Columbus. So it's just kind of cool to see how the trade winds and the trading routes and the pirate routes and all these things have shaped those lands. The people are mostly African descent because the slave ships used to stop there and some would, you know, bust free or whatever. And wonderful history, just great stories to hear passed on from generation to generation. And so that's how a Caribbean island has a curry, you know, because that's really from India. Mm-hmm. It's not something they grow around there.
Right.
But it just makes the flavor of the place wonderful. And these people are beautiful. She was so sweet. She, as you can tell, has struggles a little bit with the really clean English, but she's just shy that way. And that's how they all are, but they're speaking two or three languages. So you can't judge.
Right.
I speak one poorly.
When you were there, did you see anybody using anything that resembled a grill? I mean, I know you're on a really small island.
Yes.
But
yes.
And what did that equipment look like?
Well, this island in particular only has 300 residents.
Right.
So the main population is people that come in on a boat for the day. They take little dinghies and shore boats and stuff like that, come to the day to hit the Soggy Dollar or Foxy's or this
India,
place.
Right.
Yeah. So they have something out back that resembles the bottom of a 50-gallon drum.
I see.
And
they put a fire underneath it.
It's rusted out. There's a steel plate over the rust.
Yep.
Yeah, it's nothing fancy at all.
And then they got a grate on top of the drum, and they're
oh,
cooking.
Yeah. And the wood they have is limited. It's just the local stuff, probably pimento and stuff like that. There's a lot of cool trees around there. Some of them are poisonous, so you got to be careful.
Yeah.
You don't want that in your food.
Right.
And some of them will just stain your clothes permanently. They're done if you stand under them.
Yeah.
These little places have some cool things, but it's not South Carolina, but it's maybe a notch up.
All right. Speaking of Carolina, coming up next, we're going to be talking to a guy named Brian O'Neill, which has started a place called the Benford Brewing Company in his pool. Stick with us. We'll be back. It's not my time. I'm not going.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard or in Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to fenvalley.com.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? Brings back memories, doesn't it? Well, over at Schmoe's, we make root beer and black cherry soda just to bring back those memories. We've got six packs to go if you don't have time to hang around for a pint or a float. But bring the kids, grab a free basket of popcorn, and make your own memories with that new generation. Schmoe's Brewery, Grand Rapids, Michigan, located on Patterson, just north of 28th Street.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
With the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the grilling guy show.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, thanks for tuning in. We appreciate you spending a little time with the Grilling Guys on the weekend. And you know what? We're touring South Carolina right now, Barbecue Bob, and we are going to get away from the food and maybe go to a little beverage, right?
That's right. Before we do that, I would like to just say thank you to our producer, Mr. Brian Fonger, who is running the big board for us every week and making sure that this show gets produced, packaged up, and sent off to stations now around the country, and making sure it gets on the internet and all the places it has to be. It's something you and I can't do. We can do some cool things at the grill and on a smoker, but we can't push all these buttons and make sure everybody hears us. So, Brian, we appreciate you, man.
Amen, Brian.
So, dude, on the live line right now is an interesting cat. His name is Brian O'Neill from Benford Brewing Company. How you doing, Brian?
Good, man. How you doing?
Hey, thanks for joining us. Jop, I was scouring the internet, and, you know, we always head to Gulf Shores and Florida and everything, spring break, and I haven't had a vacation in a while, so I'm itching to get going.
Good thing I got my boots on.
Since the theme is South Carolina barbecue, I thought, let me find some beer in South Carolina. And I'm going to tell you, there's a whole bunch of microbrews there. But I found one that doesn't really have a tap room. He just produces, and I could actually find it on my way to Gulf Shores. So that was one of the reasons I started really honing in on this. But Benford Brewing Company, Brian O'Neill, welcome to the Grilling Guys.
Appreciate it, man. It's very awesome you do a South Carolina barbecue, too. We do have some good places in this state.
You sure do. So tell us your deal on how you got into being a brewer. It's a cool story.
Well, I was a custom swimming pool contractor, and I started in high school in the swimming pool business and ended up starting my own business in 2001 and owned the business for approximately 16 years. I spent 22 years in the pool business. And my first office manager in 2001 bought me a Mr. Beer kit for Christmas.
Nice.
And I had no clue what to do with it. And I dabbled with it, and like everybody, it's a very similar story. You make a terrible beer. You drink it because you made it.
Right.
And it just kind of caught. And what's really cool about the swimming pool business and the beer business is very similar. It's all pumps, hydraulics.
Pipes, water chemistry.
Yeah, you will heat a hot tub up, you're going to heat up your boil kettle. It's all relays and switches and heater elements and
absolutely
the same. It just relates very much to the same. So I built a building on my farm for my swimming pool business. We started a family. My hobby of home brewing got shifted to my building, and I started making larger homemade equipment to brew larger batches of beer.
So is it safe to say your brew house is a 20 by 40 with a deep end?
Pretty much, like a 40 by 60 with a deep end. And so it just kind of evolved into turning into a business as a kind of a joke or a hobby type business, like just something to do. And after about a year of running a brewery on a small scale, 55-gallon drum of beer, seeing people consume your product in a restaurant, just a local restaurant, that was very exciting. And being very burned out in the pool business and the pool business becoming debt-free, we decided to pursue the brewery business. I didn't want to invest any more money in the pool business. We cashed out. We bought a used 30-barrel brew house from Tin Roof Brewing Company in Baton Rouge. We brought all the equipment up here. We started putting it together, and there's nothing in this building that we haven't, or I personally haven't touched myself.
Wow.
So that's how I got started.
So that pool building experience for 15 years and truly, truly must have been just a great advantage for you in building a brew house, because there's so much water lines and so, I mean, control packs and heaters. And it's just, that's an amazing coincidence. Being in the hot tub business, I totally get your side of the business. That's kind of cool.
Well, it's a logical progression.
Yeah.
And here's what I'm getting out of all of this is, one, you've got some expertise, but two, you hit your passion. When you're working your passion, there's no work that's too hard. You're just going to figure it out, and you're going to keep moving forward.
That's right. And I work from home. We've been recognized by the Department of Agriculture as the only South Carolina agriculturally operated brewery. We have to get rid of these spent grains. I had cows on my property, so we didn't seek to have an agricultural brewery. It just happened. And when I first started this, I was relatively embarrassed by it because it's not fancy. It's just a metal building on my farm, and you know, it's not fancy and thrilly and like it is in the big cities and stuff. But like the tap rooms, and they're nice. But what I found out is that people really enjoy coming out here and sitting on the farm, sitting on some picnic tables on a Saturday. We're only open 5 hours on a Saturday. And people just like coming out here and seeing the place. And it really has changed my perspective of what people really enjoy about a brewery.
But do you have any goats? That's what I want to know.
No goats. Yeah, I'm working on pigs and chickens.
Yeah. So then we haven't at all talked about the style of beer that you're making. Take us down that road.
So without owning the pool business and being extremely busy, as you probably well know, as being a general contractor, I didn't have time to go to beer festivals, and I enjoyed beer. I enjoyed craft beer. But I never really followed like the trends of what was popular. And we brewed beer as a hobby for beers that I enjoyed. So we raised honeybees on this property. And so my wife asked if I could brew a honey beer. Our flagship beer has become our Irish honey ale. The Irish part is the Irish ale, the yeast strain that we used, and the honey, of course, is from the honey from the farm. And it was just a pale ale with a twist. There's just something a little bit different where it's just not your typical pale ale that most breweries produce. And it was just something that was different and I enjoyed, and I knew I had to be strategic and being a little bit different to catch the attention of people. And it has become a flagship beer, and we have an amusement park right on the state line called Carowinds.
Right.
Our Irish honey is the house beer for Carowinds now for 3 years. And we rebranded it at the park as Carabrew Honey Ale.
Now, how far are you from the Chattooga River?
The Chattooga River?
Yeah.
I have no clue where it's at.
Must be a long ways.
Must be. Okay. Yeah. And now, if people are cruising down to spring break, if they're on 65, I know if you go through Nashville, you've got a lot of outlets there.
Yeah, we have Lippman Brothers in Nashville, Tennessee, is our Tennessee distributor throughout the state. So we do have a beer finder on our website that kind of helps you pinpoint.
Yes.
It's just a generalization of where beer has been sold. I don't really have current inventories in Tennessee.
Right.
But if you're going through Tennessee, I know Fruit McDougal's is one stop that's really close to the interstate you can get to. And one, I think it's called the the Corky Dorks or something like that in Nashville. They usually keep the beer in stock that I know off the top of my head.
And then if you're heading down 75, you've got lots of outlets there as well.
You'd have to,
I looked at your beer finder. It was pretty cool. That was, you're doing your work.
Right. So it's 75 on the side of Nashville or Tennessee. And if you're heading like toward Myrtle Beach or Charleston or Wilmington, I'm heading to Wilmington today. But if you're going down, hit 77 or 26, and you're kind of getting to the Carolinas, we're in both states pretty heavy.
Okay.
So, Brian, you've got one beer, your Irish Honey. Is that your nickname for your wife, or is that the name of the beer?
Well, that's one beer that we have. It could be your nickname. Another beer that we have that's our number two selling beer, which is probably creeping up to our number one selling beer, is we had a trademark issue. It's very interesting. That's on our website with Evil Twin Brewing Company. And we have our IPA, our standard IPA. It's called World's Problem Solver. It was named after an old neighbor of mine that passed away of cancer. And actually, we would sit in my hot tub and try to solve the world's problems, but we couldn't remember what we talked about.
Right. Well, listen, Brian, we are out of time here on this segment. But I want folks to know to go to Benford Brewing Company in Lancaster, South Carolina. Give us your website real quick.
BenfordBrewing.com.
It's awesome. He's got a lot of beers, Jop. They're really unique, very cool story. Brian O'Neill, thanks so much for joining the Grilling Guys this weekend.
Yeah, thank you, sir, for calling me.
Yes, sir.
All right, we're going to bring this train to the station in the last segment with a little bit more of this Carolina barbecue. You're listening to the Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I've ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
If your window sticks, slips, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at StandaleLumber.com. Now you're a man, a man, man, man. Now you're a man, a manny, manny, man, a man, man, man. You are now a man, you're a man. Now you're a man. Yes, man law. This is important stuff for all you dudes out there. There's no reason for a man to ever watch ice skating. Skates are for hockey. Man law.
I agree. I got roped into that last weekend. It was ugly outside on a Sunday afternoon, and you're channel surfing, and all of a sudden it was like, hey, let's watch that for a minute. Okay. All right. Well, I got something to do.
It's a great outfit she's wearing.
Right.
Aside from that, there's not a lot of...
It's athletic. We'll give it that.
Sure.
Way. Yeah.
Sure. So I guess South Carolina has quite a complex scene on the barbecue sauce side. I mean, the more you delve into it, the more you'll find there's actually some guys down there really getting into brisket too, which that never used to happen. The Carolinas were nothing but pork and chicken.
Right.
Real big on the chicken.
Well, they raise a lot of it down there.
Yeah.
And that's part of the country. Especially. They don't raise cows down there. They raise we did just talk with Brian O'Neill, and he said he had some cows on his farm, but he wasn't talking about cooking them. I think he was using them to chow up spent grain.
I think the tradition is hog.
So, their sauces seem to be thinner. It's not – when we think in the north of sauce, it's a thick, gooey sometimes, where theirs down there is almost like
unless you're in the mustard sauce.
Right.
Then it's a little thicker.
Right.
And, you know, starting in like the 1730s and continuing to the 50s, British colony in South Carolina encouraged, recruited, and even paid the ocean passage for thousands of German families to come and take residence up there in South Carolina. They were importing Germans. You know why? They were hardworking, sturdy, and resourceful people who were given to an intensive family farm-type agriculture. So the plantation life fit those Germans, hard workers, right? And those families were given grants on the Santee, the Congaree, the Broad, and the Saluda rivers. And that's why there are those German enclaves there. And Germans love mustard.
Sure.
So when the locals got into the barbecue, and there's, you know, a lot of people in South Carolina consider it to be the home of the birthplace of barbecue. There's a million stories. But the one that I tend to be able to buy into is the settlers learned from the Native Americans that were roasting meat on a spit or on a, they wouldn't even put it on a spit. They would do it in several different ways. They would stake it out next to their fire or whatever, but they were using hardwood coals to roast their meat. And the settlers got into doing that.
As a preservative, predominantly. Yeah. I mean, they'd eat it that
Both.
Day, but what
yeah.
it did is it made the meat last for a week or two
yep.
If it was cooked. But as you can imagine, it was probably pretty dried out. So as you know, progress happened, they've developed new techniques and new equipment as
and
as
to
we
the
all have.
Germans.
Right. Yeah, right. Germans do engineer stuff pretty well. You know, if you're in tune with the auto
so
industry.
So South Carolina's got a lot of great cities. There's a lot of wonderful places. If you're heading down south for Easter break, by golly, if you're going to Hilton Head in particular, you're going to be in heaven because it's great golfing, wonderful place to stay. If you're heading on down to Georgia or Florida or Alabama, there's just lots of great barbecue on your way down there. And we just urge you to make that stop on the road and take a bake, okay?
All right, well, you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Thanks for sharing a part of your weekend with us, and we'll be talking with you next week.
Well, here we go now, one more time. Touch right.